नमो भगवते हि वासुदेवाय So I'll just read the Sanskrit, and then we'll read responsibly the word-by-word synonyms. Vishwamitra dvareye naho maricha dhyanisha charaha Pashito lakshmanasyaiva vatunayritta pungavaha So the word-by-word synonyms are as follows. Vishwamitra adhvare. Okay. In the sacrificial arena of the great sage Vishwamitra. Yena. By whom? Lord Ramachandra. Maricha Adyaha. Headed by Maricha. Nishachadaha. The uncivilized persons. Wandering at night in the darkness of ignorance. Sometimes that's called night rovers. That's the word used in the Ramayana. Pashyata Lakshmanasya. Being seen by Lakshman. Eva. Indeed. Hataha. Were killed. Nayavrita Pungavaha. The great chiefs of the Rakshasas. So translation, in the arena of the sacrifice performed by Vishwamitra, Lord Ramachandra, the king of Ayodhya, killed many demons, Rakshasas, and uncivilized men who wandered at night in the mode of darkness. May Lord Ramachandra, who killed these demons in the presence of Lakshmana, be kind enough to give us protection. So we'll speak a little bit about this before we go into the next text. Om Maganatim Dandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, of course, this is in reference, at least partially in this verse, is in reference to when Lord Ramchandra was very young, 16 years old, and Vishwamitra Muni came to the palace and spoke to King Dasarath. And of course, King Dasarath, being a great saintly king, Raja Rishi, he received Vishwamitra Muni very nicely, and he said, "My dear king, my dear sage, Vishwamitra Muni, whatever you want, I will give you." This is the method to receive great personalities in your house. Whatever is your request, but you have to be ready to give them whatever they ask for. Even if they ask for your son, or for your money, or for your house. So you have to be ready. Because that, similarly, in the story of Nityananda, Padaipandit, his father, received this personality of sannyasi. And the sannyasi asked for Lord Nityananda, Nitai. And Padaipandit had to give, and as a result of that, eventually he passed away. So Lord Nityananda took sannyasi. So, in the same way, Vishwamitra Muni said to King Dasarath that actually I want your son to kill these demons that are interfering with my sacrifice. Because these demons, particularly Marich and Sabahu, they used to hover in the air over the sacrifice of Vishwamitra Muni. And throw all sorts of interesting things like pus and blood and bones and stool into the sacrifice. And of course, that becomes contaminated. And nowadays, of course, they offer kava in sacrifice. So that's very contaminated. So he said, "I can't stop them because I've taken a vow of peacefulness and silence. So it would disturb the yajna if I stopped them," because Vishwamitra Muni certainly had the power to stop the demons and kill the demons all by himself. So he said this to Dasarath, and Dasarath basically had a nervous breakdown at that point. He said, "Actually, I'll go with my whole army. And don't worry, don't take this little boy, Ram." And Vishwamitra Muni got very upset at that point. He said, I want Ram. I didn't ask for you or your whole army. And he said, what kind of a king are you? You're in the Surya Vamsa. And every one of your ancestors has kept his promise. And you're going to be the first one who breaks the promise. This is very irreligious. And then Dasarath asked his guru, Vasishtha Muni, what he should do. And Vasishtha Muni informed him. He said, look, Vishwamitra Muni is perfectly capable of protecting your son. And also, you don't even understand who your son is. He can protect himself. So don't worry about that. So Vishwamitra Muni went off with Ram and also Lakshman, who was inseparable from Ram. And as they were proceeding, they ran into the first demon. The first demon that Ram killed in his life was a lady, Tadaka. And she used to have a garland of skulls around her neck. She was actually a very great, either Gandharva or a great, beautiful girl before, but she got cursed by a sage to become like that. And so, basically, Ram was very hesitant to kill a lady. Because generally, Kshatriyas are not supposed to go around killing ladies. They're supposed to protect ladies, marry them, but not kill them. So, he was very reluctant, but Vishwamitra Muni said, you know, kill her. I mean, she's killed so many people. Don't pay attention to the fact that she's a lady. And now it's getting to be dark. Because just like it's described here in this verse, night rovers. When it gets dark, especially the twilight hours, the demons become more powerful and the mode of ignorance becomes more prominent. That's why, for example, they have bars, and bars are dark, right? Usually bars, they don't shine the lights very bright, unless it's strobe lights or something like that. That's very dark. People want to be in ignorance. And the nighttime is the time for ignorance. And the morning is the time for goodness. Like at 4 o'clock in the morning, that's the time for goodness. 3:30, it's called Brahma Muhurta. And Prabhupada emphasized that he wanted his disciples and followers to wake up during the Brahma Muhurta time. Otherwise, they would be in ignorance. And you see, anyone who wakes up at like 8 o'clock in the morning, his eyes look like the night rover's eyes. He has Rakshasa eyes. Actually, even worse. It looks like a Shabara's eyes, you know, low-class person's eyes. So we should wake up early. And Lord Chaitanya and his associates would wake up everybody by having kirtan outside their houses, chanting, Jeev Jago, Gorachanda, Bole. Go to Nidra, Yaw Maya, Pisa Chira Kole. Wake up, sleeping souls. You're sleeping in the lap of the witch called Maya. I have the medicine, Harinam Maha Mantra, to cure this. So what happened is that Ram killed Tadaka, and Tadaka just, actually she died, and she was the mother of Marich. So Marich's mother had been killed, poor guy, you know, his mother had been killed by this Ramchandra, this cruel Ramchandra. So then they went to the sacrifice, and Vishwamitra Muni, he was doing his swaha business. You know, swaha, swaha, swaha. Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu. And then the demons assembled in the sky above the sacrifice. And they thought, now it's time to throw pus and mucus and stool and all those other things in the sacrifice. They enjoyed such things. And then Lord Ram, he fired this arrow. It was like a whirlwind or a chakra. It protected the sacrifice so the demons couldn't throw anything into the sacrifice. It just bounced back at them. They threw a piece of stool and bounced back in their faces. So they were very disturbed. And then Lord Ram took out his arrows and killed Subahu. And then he took out the other arrow and sent Marich 800 miles away into the ocean. So Marich, and we mentioned this before, Marich was actually traumatized by this whole encounter. And he still was angry at Lord Ram. And later on he tried to kill Lord Ram. He took the form of an eight-legged beast. and he almost got killed again the second time. So, as I mentioned before, he was very traumatized, extremely traumatized by Lord Ram, and he couldn't even pronounce the letter R anymore in his life, because the letter R just reminded him of Ram. Then every time he looked at a tree, he saw Ram behind the tree. You know, and because it was traumatic. You know, like if someone goes to war, they suffer post-traumatic stress, and like if they hear an explosion, they go like that, because it reminds them of the explosion during the war. So he was actually, the poor soul was traumatized. So later on, of course, we know the story that he was asked by Ravan to help Ravan kidnap Sita Devi. And first he refused. The second time, Ravan gave him an ultimatum saying, you are either killed by me or you do it. And so he thought better to be killed by Ram. And because of that, he actually became liberated. Not only was he killed by Ram, but he chanted, Lakshman, Sita, Lakshman, at the time of death, right? Because that was Ravana's instruction, so that Lakshman and Sita would think that Ram was in danger. So he became a great soul, so we pay our respects today to Marich. So anyway, so that's one of the stories here. And then after that, after killing the demons and the sacrifice, they went on to the Sita Swayamvara. And the Sita Swayamvara, it was very nice because they had this bow of Lord Shiva. And this bow of Lord Shiva had been in the family for many generations. Actually, the name Janaka was a generic name for all the kings in that dynasty. Generic means all the kings in that dynasty had the same name. Just like in Europe, or in England, for example, they have King Edward I, King Edward II, King Edward III. Of course, the most famous one is Henry VIII, right? Henry VIII was married 8 times. He's the founder Acharya of the English Church. He founded the English Church so he could marry more than get divorced, in other words. But before he founded the church, he actually killed his wives, some of the wives. Some of the wives were killed, some of the wives he divorced. So it wasn't so safe to marry Henry VIII. Anyway, so Henry VIII, it's called the Eighth because there were other Henrys before him. So same thing with Janaka. Janaka was descended from a great king named Nimi. This king Nimi also had as his guru Vasishtha Muni. And the story goes that Nimi, he wanted to go on Harinam. He was a good devotee. But his guru said, wait for me. Don't do your sacrifice, your Harinam sacrifice, until I'm there. And I have to go to the heavenly planets. You know, I got a big sacrifice to perform to the demigods. And, you know, they give bigger donations, basically. So we went to the heavenly planets, performed the sacrifice for the demigods. In the meantime, King Nimi was thinking, this human life is so short. Why should I wait till Gurudev comes back to go on Sankirtan? That's true. I mean, why should you wait for the gurus there? I mean, you're authorized to do Sankirtan at any time. So he went on Sankirtan, you know, did his sacrifice. And Vasishtha Muni came back from the heavenly planets, and he saw that his disciple had disobeyed his instructions. So he cursed his disciple to die. He said, you become nir deha. That means without a body. Deha means body, nir means without. And so Nimi Maharaj, who was the ancestor of Janaka, that's why we're telling the story, he counter-cursed his spiritual master saying, Gurudev, you die. And so the guru and disciple died together. A very nice disappearance day celebration. So they both died together, and Vasishtha Muni appeared later through the semen of Mitran Varuna. It was kept in a pot. Because Mitra and Varuna, they saw Urvasi and they become a little agitated. And then King Nimi, his body was preserved in oil. This story is also there in the Bhagavatam. It's not only the Ramayana, it's in the Bhagavatam. King Nimi, his body was preserved in oil. And while they were performing this sacrifice and doing Sankirtan, the demigods appeared and they asked the Brahmanas who were performing the sacrifice, what do you want? And they said, we want King Nimi to be brought back to life. So the demigod said, all right, he can come back to life. King Nimi came out of the oil, and he said, it wasn't soybean oil. It was good oil. So he came out, and he said, I don't want to be brought back to life. I want to go back to Godhead. I don't want to come to this stupid material world again. You know, come on. I did Sankirtan, chanted the holy names, got the result, went back to God, and now you brought me back here? Forget it. So then King Nimi died again. And so the sages were thinking, you know, how are we going to have the next king? So there's this whole process, it's called churning the body. It's like a genetic engineering type of thing, cloning. So they were able to clone his body by churning and come up with a son that was produced. It's similar with the Vena Maharaj story. With Vena, where Prithu came out, yeah. But in this particular case, the person who came out was Janaka. That means Janaka, he was born. And the process of churning is called Maiti in Sanskrit, and therefore the village or the city became Mithila. That's why Mithila is called Mithila, because it comes from that churning. So they churned his body, and Janaka the first was born. And then Janaka first got married, and he had Janaka the second as his son. And then Janaka the second got married, had Janaka the third as his son. You understand? And somewhere down the line, I don't know which number, was the present Janaka, who was the father of Sita Devi. And of course, we know, I'm not going to talk about the appearance of Sita Devi. Sita Devi was in a box in the ground at the tip of a plow when Maharaj Janaka was performing the sacrificial plowing of the ground, hit the box, and Sita Devi came out. She was in the box, and that's how Sita Devi appeared, and Janaka Maharaj adopted her as his daughter. So the reason that they used the bow, this question was asked last night, but the reason why the stringing the bow was important is because one time Sita Devi got something she was playing with up in the tree, was caught up in the tree, and there was no way for her to get it down, like a ball or something like that. So she just picked up this bow, the bow of Lord Shiva, which had been in the family, the Janaka family, for many, many generations, and she knocked it out of the tree. And everyone was shocked because previously it took like 10,000 soldiers to pull the bow, you know, in a cart with wheels on it. And this little girl, you know, like 14-year-old girl, just went like that, picked up the bow. So, I mean, everyone was just looking. They were just shocked. How is this possible? And so as a result of that, they thought, well, she's going to have to marry someone who's stronger than her. You know, because if a lady can pick up a bow that 10,000 men can't even pull in a cart, she's pretty strong. So there has to be someone who's stronger than her, you know, more powerful, more potency. So it has to be someone who could string the bow. That's why they decided it was the bow of Lord Shiva. And so what happened is that so many people tried to string the bow, and basically they were unable to even to pick it up because it was Lord Shiva's bow. And eventually Lord Ram came, and he picked up the bow, and we all know that the bow broke. Now, some people say that he broke the bow. That's not really true. The bow broke on its own. And the reason the bow broke on its own is because the bow was Lord Shiva's bow. And the bow did not want to be used against Lord Shiva's devotee. Who was Lord Shiva's devotee? Ravan. Ravan was Lord Shiva's devotee. And so the bow broke voluntarily because it was Lord Shiva's bow. And then, of course, when Ram got married and Lakshman got married, Bhart and Shatrughna, they all got married to the sisters and cousins of Sita Devi. On the way back, Parashuram appeared. Parashuram is an incarnation of the Lord, and his name means the Lord, the Ram, who has the axe or the chopper. So he's a very ferocious personality. And he said, who has broken the bow? And basically, Lakshman said, you know, anybody could have broken that stupid bow. And then Parashuram said, he said, who is this boy, kid? You know, he should shut his mouth, and or I'm going to shut it for him. So, and then Lord Ram stepped forward and said, you know, I broke the bow, and the bow actually broke momentarily. And Parashuram said, you know, if you so think you're so great, you should take this bow of Lord Vishnu and see what you can do with it. And before he could even produce the bow, this is actually the Ramayana, the bow was actually in Ram's hand. And he went, uh-oh. And Ram drew the bowstring, and with an arrow, and Parashuram got a little nervous. And Ram said, you know, what do you want me to destroy? Because Parashuram, he had to shoot it at Parashuram. And Parashuram said, well, I have two things. One is the ability to travel and go anywhere at the speed of the mind. And the other one is all my pious activities. So I think you should shoot it at my pious activities, because I can't remain on the Earth planet for more than a few seconds, because I had promised my father, Kashyapa Muni, that I wouldn't stay on the Earth planet because I created so many problems before. He killed Kshatriyas so many times before. So many generations he killed, so they didn't want him around anymore. You had a temper. So Ram shot the arrow with the accumulated merit of Parashuram, and then Parashuram left the place, and then Ram went back to Ayodhya. So this is the beginning of the whole, practically the whole story of the Ramayana is part of the beginning of the Ramayana. The Ramayana begins in the Balakanda. Balakanda means like childhood pastimes of Lord Ram. So let's continue with the next verse. Next verse is a little longer than this. Yo lokabira samatal dano raisha mugram sita swayamvara krihe tushato panitam adaya bala gajalila ivekshu yashnim sai kritam riba vriksha vabanja madje jitvanu rupa gunal shila vayanga rupam chita vidam Shriyam urasya vilabdamanam marge vrajan vrigupater vyanayat prarudam darpam ahim krittayastrir arajabhijam. So the translation is, it's a very long one. O king, the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra were wonderful, like those of a baby elephant. In the assembly where Mother Sita, actually this is interesting, most devotees don't pronounce Sita's name properly. They say Sita. It's not Sita, it's Sita. Everyone understand that? There's two long I's. Sita. That's how Lord Ramchandra would call Sita. Sita. He said, Sita, Sita. Because it's a long A at the end. It's not Sita. So most devotees, they don't pronounce wrong. So where Mother Sita was to choose her husband, in the midst of the heroes of this world, he broke the bow belonging to Lord Shiva. This bow was so heavy that it was carried by 300 men, but Lord Ramachandra bent and strung it and broke it in the middle, just as a baby elephant breaks a stick of sugar cane. Thus the Lord achieved the hand of Mother Sita, who was equally as endowed with transcendental qualities of form, beauty, behavior, age, and nature. Indeed, she was the goddess of fortune who constantly rests on the chest of the Lord. While returning from Sita's home after gaining her at the assembly of competitors, Lord Ramachandra met Parashuram. We told that story already. Although Parashuram was very proud, having rid the earth of the royal order 21 times, he was defeated by the Lord, who appeared to be a Kshatriya of the royal order. And that story we told. So we go on to the next verse. So the way he did it 21 times is that he killed the Kshatriyas and he waited for their children to grow up and then he killed them. So it was 21 generations. Because sometimes people ask, how can you kill someone 21 times? Right? So he killed, and then when the children grew up, he didn't kill the children. He waited till they grew up and he killed them. And then, so then you may ask, how did the Kshatriyas come to be again after they were all killed and all their children were killed? Does anyone know the answer to that? He didn't kill the Kshatriya. The answer is he didn't kill the Kshatriya ladies. And the Brahmin men had children by the Kshatriya ladies, and that's how the Kshatriyas came out again. You understand? Because he didn't kill the Brahmin men, and he didn't kill the Kshatriya. He never killed ladies. He was very kind to ladies. Just like when that lady Amba came to him, the Mahabharata story, and she wanted to marry who? Do you remember? Who did Amba want to marry? Bhishma. And she came to Parashuram and said, I want to marry Bhishma. He must marry me. And Parashuram said, I will force him to marry you. And they had a fight, Bhishma and Parashuram, and Bhishma won. And Parashuram got a little embarrassed. Okay. But generally, Parashuram never loses. He always wins. He's frightening. So, next text, text 8. Let me just read the Sanskrit on this. Yasacha pasha parivita pitur nidesham strainasya chapi shidasa jagrahe sabaryaha rajam shriyam pranayana suvidau nivasam chakwa yayovanam asuniva muktasanga. Carrying out the order of his father, who was bound by a promise to his wife, Lord Ramachandra left behind his kingdom, opulence, friends, well-wishers, residence, and everything else, just as a liberated soul gives up his life and went to the forest with Sita. So Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport. It's a beautiful purport. Maharaj Dasaratha had three wives. One of them, Kaikeyi, served him very pleasingly, and he therefore wanted to give her a benediction. Kaikeyi, however, said that she would ask for the benediction when it was necessary. At the time of the coronation of Prince Ramachandra, Kaikeyi requested her husband to enthrone her son, Bharata, and send Ramachandra to the forest. Maharaj Dasaratha, being bound by his promise, ordered Ramachandra to go to the forest according to the dictation of his beloved. And the Lord, as an obedient son, accepted the order immediately. He left everything without hesitation, just as a liberated soul, a great yogi, gives up his life without material attraction. So this is also a very interesting story. So, of course, there were three wives for Dasaratha, and Kaikeyi was the youngest. And because she was the youngest, she was the favorite, because the other ones were older. Like, if one has many wives, usually the youngest is the favorite. Can anyone think of another story was like that? Suniti and Suruchi. Isn't it? King Uttanapada's wives. And the favorite was Suruchi, because she was younger. Actually, it's interesting, her name means a good taste. Like Ruchi, you understand Ruchi? Su, it means auspicious or good. So she was beautiful. So the king was controlled by her, and as a result, his son was offended by the whole thing. But that's a different story. So in the same way, the youngest wife was Kaikeyi, and she had saved Dasaratha's life because she was driving the chariot one time, and Dasaratha went unconscious, and she took him out of the battlefield. And he said, I'll give you any benediction you want. And she said, wait till later. And then also, another thing is, Kaikeyi's father, in the province of Kaikeya, that's where Kaikeyi came from. Sometimes people were named after where they came from. She came from Kaikeya, and her father said to Dasaratha when he wanted to marry her that her son should become the next king. So there was that arrangement too. Similar to the Mahabharata story where the fisherman, right, said that Satyavati's son should become the next king, and Grandfather Bhishma had to relinquish the kingdom because he wanted to please his father and allow his father to marry Satyavati. So in the same way, Dasaratha had already promised Kaikeyi's father. So he had made a promise many years before that too. So what happened is that Kaikeyi actually loved Ram. This illustrates the point about avoiding bad association. Because she loved Ram. She was so happy that Ram was going to be enthroned. Dasaratha made the arrangement to enthrone Ram because he saw some inauspicious signs occurring in the stars, and he thought, I better enthrone him right away before something happens. And he even wanted to enthrone him before Bart and Shatrughna came back. They were with their uncle. They were actually far away. They were far away at that time. So he thought, we got to do it right away. And so when Kaikeyi heard this, everyone was happy. And Rama was to be enthroned the next day. Kaikeyi was very happy. Oh, my son Rama. Because they all loved Rama just like their son. There was none of this rivalry between the wives. And so she was thinking, so nice, and so happy. And then she gave her servant, Mantra, some jewelry. Said, oh, Mantra, I'm so happy. Here's some jewelry. Mantra said, yeah, you don't understand what's happening. You're not looking after your interests and the interests of your son. And she said, oh, Mantra, shut up. And then Mantra said, you don't know the plan. You'll be considered, now you're the first wife, you know, the most important wife because you're so beautiful. But as soon as Ram becomes the king, you're going to be just like a servant girl. And so Mantra poisoned her mind by bad association. Mantra, you know, the mind gets poisoned. Anyway, the name means, is a very interesting name. So Mantra poisoned her mind. She was thinking, yes, yeah, what can I do? How can I stop this? And my poor son, he's just going to have to become a servant to Bart. I love Bart so much. And then Mantra came up with the plan. Look, the king made some promises. He said he would give you whatever you wanted. So you should ask that your son becomes king and that Bart becomes king and Ramchandra is exiled for 14 years. And Kaikeyi agreed with that. And so in order to accomplish her purpose, she didn't just go to the king and ask for that. She went to a particular room in the palace that was called the crying room. All the queens in the palaces, they had one room which is an anger room, crying room. Nowadays, the women do everything in one room. They cry, they eat, everything in one room. But previously, the queens, they used to have one room just for crying. And so Dasarath was so happy because he thought Rama's going to be enthroned the next day, so he went to Kaikeyi's palace. Because naturally, he associated more with Kaikeyi than with Kausalya or Sumitra, because Kaikeyi was more younger and more beautiful. So he went to tell Kaikeyi the good news, and he didn't find her in her palace, or at least in the main room of the palace. And her servants told Dasarath that she's in the crying room. So he went to the crying room, and he found her on the floor. And Dasarath said, what's the problem? Like that. And she said, you know, as the lady says, you'll never understand. And he said, please get up, please get up. You know, it really freaks out a man when a woman's crying, isn't it? I mean, you just don't know what to do about it. And if the lady keeps saying, you don't know what I'm, you know, you'll never understand. And the man's thinking, I will never understand. So he was, basically he was freaked out. And he was saying, please get up, please get up. And he said, if you get up, I'll give you anything you want. And then she was like, you mean it? You know, it was basically an act. And he said, yes, yes, please. Because he was really, like, upset. You know, he didn't know what to do. You know, his wife, who he loved, attached to. His whole happiness was dependent, you know, one sense on the wife. And then she said, oh, okay, since you promise, I'll get up. And he smiled. Like that. Immediately from complete tears to smiling, he promised. And she said, now you want to hear what I want? And I want my son Bart to become king. Dasarath was stunned. And she said, I want Ram to be exiled for 14 years. In the meantime, Dasarath basically collapsed on the ground. He fell to the ground. He became unconscious. And then after that, he came back to consciousness and grabbed her feet. I mean, this is like really embarrassing. This big king who could fight. We said Dasarath could fight in 10 directions at once, or like 10 chariots. He could fight off 10 chariots at once. So this this big king, you can imagine, you know, I mean, just imagine the scenario, some big, strong man. He gets down at her feet and he starts holding her feet, takes his feet to his head, and says, please, please, anything else, anything else, please, anything, order me, I'll do anything else. And then he was crying, and she was just adamant. She said, no, you have to keep your promise. And then he fainted again. And then it came time for the morning, and he was still basically unconscious. And so she told Sumantra, who was the prime minister, she said, go get Ram. His father has something to say to him. So Sumantra went to Ram's palace, and Ram thought, oh, I get a chance to see my father. So he went to see his father. His father was on the ground. And he said to Kaikeyi, he said, Mom, Mother, Mataji, I said, what's happened to Dad? And Kaikeyi said, he'll be all right. Don't worry about it. He wants to tell you something, but he's too embarrassed. And she said, I'll tell you for him. He wants you to go to the forest for 14 years. And he wants Bart to become the king. And basically, he was unconscious, you know, just frothing at the mouth. And actually, Ramchandra, Lord Ramchandra, was such a good son. He said to Kaikeyi, he said, you didn't have to ask my father to ask this. If you yourself had asked me to do this, I would have done it for you. Can you imagine that? He was such a dutiful person. We can learn from this, too. He was so attached to duty, he was ready to do this, even for his mother, Kaikeyi. And so then we know Ram went to the forest, and later on Dasarath passed away in separation from Ram. Actually, when Ram was going to the forest, Dasarath was following him. Not only Dasarath was following him, Sita and Lakshman, but the whole village, the whole city was following them. And then Kaikeyi was saying, what's the use of my son being a king when there's nobody here to be king over? You know, Dasarath's going with Ram, all the citizens, because they all love Ram so much. And so she ordered Dasarath to go back home and, you know, cry in your bed. And then she ordered all the citizens to go back too. And some of them followed Ram, of course, but later on Ram tricked them and he left in the middle of the night, so they couldn't follow him completely. And then later on, Dasarath died out of separation. But this was also predicted, because when Dasarath was very young, he had shot a young Brahmin boy that was taking care of his blind parents. He didn't shoot him on purpose. He thought it was a deer, and he was shooting because there was a sound of water filling a pot, and he thought it was a deer drinking. So he focused on the sound and shot his arrows, and he hit this poor Brahmin boy. And when he went to the Brahmin, he heard the cry of the Brahmin boy instead of the cry of the deer. And he went, and he became so upset and pulled the arrow eventually out of the Brahmin boy. The Brahmin boy died. And he went and found the Brahmin boy's blind parents, brought the blind parents to see their son. The blind parents decided to leave this world with their son. They all went back to Godhead. And while doing so, they cursed Dasarath that he would die feeling separation from his son. So this is all preordained. I mean, all these different curses like that. So Dasarath later on went back to Godhead. Or he actually went back to Godhead, not the heavenly planets. The movie is wrong. He didn't go to heaven. He went back to Godhead because he's a pure devotee of Lord Ram. So he went back to Godhead. And then Lord Ram actually did the ceremony for Dasarath when Bart came out with him. They offered oblations in the sacred river. So that's that story, I think. Do we have time to go on and tell any more stories or no? We got 5 more minutes. We can read another verse, which is interesting. Rakshas vasur vyakrita rupam ashuda budes tashyakara trishira dushana mukya bandun jagne chaturdasha sahasram aparaniya kodandapanir at This is about one of my favorite personalities, one of the most beautiful ladies, Supranaka. While wandering in the forest, where he accepted a life of hardship, carrying his invincible bow and arrows in his hand, Lord Ramchandra deformed Ravana's sister, who was polluted with lusty desires, by cutting off her nose and ears. He also killed her 14,000 Rakshasa friends headed by Kara, Trishira, and Dushana. So, you know, I was mentioning this also yesterday, that she had gotten the benediction from Lord Brahma that she could change her form at will, look as beautiful as she wanted. And therefore, as a result, when she appeared before Lord Rama, she appeared like an extremely beautiful girl. And Lord Rama said, Ekapatni Vrata, but my brother doesn't have his wife with him. And they joked with her a little bit, and then she tried to kill Sita Devi, assuming her natural form. And that aggravated the Rakshasas. And as a result, there were 14 giant Rakshasas sent first, and then 14,000 Rakshasas. And the way that Ram defeated the 14,000 Rakshasas is he fired his arrow of bewilderment at them, and each one of them thought that the other Rakshasa was Ram. You understand? So, can you imagine? That is the ultimate weapon, that if you want to defeat your enemy, you have your enemy look like you, and they're killing each other. And so the Rakshasas actually killed each other. The 14,000 Rakshasas, very quickly they killed each other. And then he killed Kar and Dushan. And as we mentioned, one of the soldiers went back and reported to Ravan. And Ravan first approached Marich, but Marich didn't want to do it. And then Surpanaka came. Surpanaka, the word Surpanaka means one with the long nails, the long willow, you know, bending nails. And her husband had previously been killed by Ravana. So she was a widow. I mean, her brother killed her husband. Pretty cool. And then, but Surpanaka, here's a story we didn't tell. Surpanaka later on got a chance to marry the Supreme Personality of God, or at least have a relationship. How did that happen? Does anyone know that story? Kubja. Later on, when Krishna appeared, and he went to Mathura. He went to Mathura, and there was this lady preparing sandalwood pulp for Kamsa. You know, she was grinding the sandalwood pulp, but she was a hunchback. And so Krishna was asking different things from different people. Like, he went to a washerman, and he wanted Kamsa's clothes, because they were nice clothes, and the washerman said no. So what did Krishna do? He killed him. Actually, it's described with his hand, he cut that washerman's head off. The movie is wrong. In the movie, it shows him hitting the washerman, but he actually went like that. Decapitated the washerman. And so everybody was amazed. And so, also he went to a florist, and the florist gave the flowers voluntarily. And then he asked for this sandalwood that was meant for Kamsa from this hunchback lady. Her name was Kubja. And he said, can you please give me the sandalwood? And she gladly put it on Krishna and Balaram's body. And Krishna took her cheeks, straightened her up, and she became a very beautiful lady, and then being extremely lusty. Like Prabhupada describes that her love was not completely pure, but it became purified. She grabbed Krishna's dhoti. You understand? Krishna was there, grabbing the dhoti. Come here. Like that. And Krishna said to her that, you know, meeting with nice ladies like you helps relieve stress in life, but right now we have something to do. And that something to do was killing Kamsa. But later on, he met with her, and there was a conjugal relationship, and she became completely purified of that and became a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's interesting, isn't it? How many of the demons, they actually either got liberated. For example, you have the story of Putana, who got liberated. Putana was previously the sister of Bali Maharaj. When Lord Vamanadeva came into the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj, the sister of Bali Maharaj felt maternal attraction for Lord Vamanadeva. She said, boy, I'd really like to be his mother. Oh, such a cute little boy. Because he was real small. Oh, she felt this maternal maternal affection for him. But then when she saw that he cheated her brother, she thought, even if I'm his mother, I'll kill him. So later on, she appeared as Putana. And as a result of that, she got a chance to try to kill Krishna. As we know, was unsuccessful. But Krishna sucked her breast milk and accepted her as a mother, and she went back to Godhead and became one of Krishna's eternal mothers. So when you go back to Godhead, you can meet Putana. Because she's no longer called Putana. There's a different name in the spiritual world. Because Put means poison. Putana means the lady of poison. I mean, every name in Sanskrit means something. In many cases, it's really funny. Like Durvasa Muni means the Muni who has a bad temper. You know, Vas means like the temper. Dur means bad or mentality. So Durvas, bad temper person. So don't give your child the name Durvas. That would be inappropriate. There was one person who gave their child that name, Durvas, and he said it wasn't such a good name. And the child had a bad temper. So I think that's all we have time for today. Tomorrow we'll go on with the Ramayana, and actually during the midday program, I want to talk about the famous story of Rishi Sringa and actually the birth of Lord Ramchandra, which is a very interesting, amazing story of how Lord Ramchandra appeared through the sacrifice of this great sage and how the sage became known as Rishi Sringa. It's an interesting story. Okay, I guess that's it. All glory is due to the divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.